Perfect. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the next Q&A. We aim for around 30 minutes for this Q&A. And I'm Mark, co-founder CEO of More Than Metrics. I'm based in Innsbruck, Austria. And across the big pond, there's Nicole.
Hi, I'm in Vancouver, Canada.
Nicole, how's it going to work?
How's it going to work? So everybody should be able to chat. And at the bottom of that chat, you can set your chat so that all attendees can see your questions. So any of those questions that you would like Mark to answer, you can type there and he will answer them. Today, we're going to focus on journey map ops, so a rather specific topic. And I think Mark is going to do a little level setting for us. And we can kick it off perhaps by everyone testing their chat by letting us know where you're from and what you do. Just your first name will show up in case you're worried about any privacy. But let's kind of see who we've got from around the world.
Awesome. Well, people are joining. And again, we have more than 70 people registered for today from all over the world. Please make sure that folks can see what you're writing. So please send the message to everyone, not just to the moderator, and keep it like that also for the questions you ask, so we all can see the questions coming in. Even though we have a topic here to start with, and I will focus like around 10 or so minutes in the beginning, just to give an overview what the heck Journey Map Ops is. Please use the time to enter your questions, also apart like away from Journey Map Ops, like any kind of question you have around service design, around our tools, Maply or Experience Fellow, whatever interest in. I try to do my best to answer these. All right, Montreal, Belgium, Montreal. Hi, everyone. That's great. Keep coming in.
You met Joelle in Montreal at SDGC.
All right. We got Wales and Budapest. That is awesome.
Berlin.
Vicky, hey, look at that. Hello, I know you. All right, perfect. While we're seeing that, Austria. I can't believe that. A UX designer from Austria. That's the first time we have someone from Austria here. That is great. All right. I'm going to share my screen and actually kick off with just a few slides. Please keep on posting where you're from, what you're doing, and keep on coming with your questions. Let me change to Keynote. All right. So at the SDGC, which was the topic of our last Q&A, the Service Design Global Conference, which actually took place this year in Toronto in Canada, and that was the topic of the last Q&A. I gave a workshop on Journey Map Ops together with Nicole, together with Michael and Shofi from More Than Metrics. And there was so much interest about that I thought it might be of interest to kick off with that and give you like a 10-minute overview of what the heck Journey Map Ops is. Something I already shared last time, and I would like to use that slide to kick it off, is the three different use cases of Journey Maps. So I always like to explain that you can use Journey Maps in different ways. And a lot of miscommunications in organizations actually stem from the fact that someone might think of a Journey Map as a workshop map, while someone else think of it as a management map. So the first category are workshop maps. These are maps you often work with pen and paper in a workshop setting, either as a research tool or as an alignment tool for the team to get on the same page, to learn from that. But very often these maps are not used outside of the workshop. You often take a photo and only a few key insights out of the workshop actually kind of survive the workshop. The second kind of maps are maps you use within a project. So these are proper boundary objects that are used to communicate between different teams that are progressed over time. You often start with assumption-based maps, move towards research-based maps. You often start with current state maps to identify problems and then develop them over time, over ideas into future state maps, mapping out how the future could look like, and then maybe move into prototyping where you test a few of your assumptions there. So today we're going to talk about the third kind of maps, which are the management maps. And these are maps that you use not for one project, but to connect many different projects. You can use them to actually to manage the customer experience of your organization. So when we talk about Journey Map Ops, we actually like to call it a customer-centric management tool for agile organizations. And the core problem is large organizations struggle with the problem that they run a lot of different projects, projects that focus on customer experience, but also loads of other projects that focus on something completely different, maybe legal, maybe a new IT system, maybe a change of standard operating procedures, or rather focusing on internal process, but all of them in the end impact customer experience. And loads of these projects are now managed in an agile way, which means you don't know in which direction the different projects actually develop. And it's really hard to keep on managing that. So the problem organizations have is projects overlap, different departments do similar projects, and they are not aware of that until it's very late, they're ready to launch, they realize, oh shoot, there was someone else working on that as well, but they have a different opinion on that. A different solution maybe. So it's a lot of waste of time and money. Or that you have contradicting projects that you realize there's maybe two connected steps in the journey. One project's focusing on that, one project on that, and they're going in a different direction. That's why they're contradicting each other. So one way by focusing on management maps is actually to understand how different projects impact customer experience. And these are not only projects of customer experience, design, innovation, but all the projects in your organization. So how does it work? Just very quickly, I always like to compare journey maps with maps in geography, where you have different zoom levels. So you might start with a high level map, and that's like the highest level you can have, kind of a customer life cycle. And then you can zoom into any step, create a dedicated journey map there with a different time frame. So it might be now just a few hours. And out of that, you can zoom into details again and do micro journeys there or further level it down into more detail. So the difference here is always the time frame. The more you zoom in, the more details you see, but the less time you actually cover in it. And the same like maps and geography. When you zoom in, you see more details, but you see, of course, less of the scope. So that said, if you map out all the customer experience an organization offers, you will end up with loads and loads of different maps. And I don't recommend to start with that. Start with a few dedicated ones. Map out always the highest level, and then at least one level below, and start with, for example, where you have pain points or where you currently focus different projects on. So this is the journey map part. Now let's look at the operations part. When we really want to put the customer in the center, also management tools should actually focus and on the customer and put the customer in the center. And that means you need a different role in your organization. We call them journey map coordinators. And what these folks do is they hold a council. Depending on the organization, they might hold it every week, every month, every quarter, depending on how quick you move within your organization. What they do is they are responsible for different parts of the journey. So if we think of the highest level journey, the person responsible for that should also be the person highest in your organization in charge of customer experience. When you zoom in, you have different teams responsible for different parts probably, or even different departments responsible for different parts of the journey. So what you should do is for the more detailed level journeys, also assign journey map coordinators. And there's one coordinator responsible for one journey. You can go down to very specific details of your experience where you have a specific team responsible for that. What you do then is these coordinators get in touch with different departments and they ask what kind of projects are going on and where do they impact our customer experience in this particular part of the journey. So as an additional lane type, you add projects. And you write down all the projects that are currently going on or that are planned. And because you feed up the information from the very detailed journey to the mid-level to the highest level, on the highest level, you aggregate loads and loads of different projects. And you will see on the different levels, as soon as you aggregate, that you find these overlaps or contradictions between projects from different departments. So it is absolutely essential that the coordinators get in touch with other departments, start building relationships, cross the silos of your organization, and collect information. It works brilliantly if you add other lane types as well, like user pain points, team pain points, KPIs, and suddenly a journey map becomes a dashboard of your organization, focusing on the customer experience. So you see all the projects, all the KPIs, all the pain points from your team and your user organized by the experience. And when you meet regularly in this council, you bring all this information together, and there's a governing structure behind that, that in the meeting you check how are we performing, how are the different KPIs going on, so you don't focus just on the one KPIs, but on a whole set of KPIs. And if you move further down into details, you also see not only quantitative data, but qualitative data, because you can upload that as well. You're gonna see projects and you check for contradictions and overlaps. You decide which projects should move on or who should you bring in touch with each other. You also realize that there are pain points where there are currently no projects actively focusing to solve this pain point. So you can agree on starting research projects for that. Or if you already identified pain points backed up with research, you can set up prototyping projects and in the end, also development projects, implementation projects to get that done. So it's a whole governing system for an organization around customer experience using a journey map as a visual management tool. And of course, that only works when you use a digital solution for journey maps. That's how our customers love to use Smaply as a governing system. All right, that was my very brief introduction into what the heck is Journey Map Ops. So I hope that was helpful as a starting point. Now I'm looking forward to all your questions.
Okay. So we have two questions in the queue so far. Actually, you know what? We had someone email us one because I don't think he could make the call. So I'm going to start there and then I'll go to our queue. So Neil sent us an email and he asked us, what is the best way to structure journey mapping from macro to micro levels in Smaply, and where is the best place to start?
So it actually, I covered a lot of that already. I recommend start with where you are. So if you already have a map on a specific project, that is your starting point. And then the next thing you should do is take a look at the next higher level. So where is this experience actually embedded in? I think I said it in our first Q&A session. There's a saying in design, when you want to design a table, you need to understand the room in which this table is placed. If you want to design a room, you need to understand the house. Otherwise, you end up with two bathrooms but no kitchen. So you always need to understand the next higher entity. And that means for journey maps, start with where you are, understand the bigger picture. If you start with a blank canvas, if you don't have anything, start from the top. Start mapping out the high level experience. That is often very straightforward. And then identify where do we have the biggest friction, either from a user perspective, pain points, or from internal perspective, where you say, this is where we lose our conversion. Focus on that one. In Smaply, it's very simple. Each map has a unique URL that you can simply copy, and you create a text lane. You can call it detailed journey maps. And either you copy in the link, or you actually write detailed journey map here and click on the little link button, and you can add it as a link. By that, you can actually build the whole hierarchy of maps.
Great. That answers Vicky's question. Can you connect all the different journeys?
Yes. Oh, one more thing on that. Yeah. You can't only connect just one map into each other. You can add multiple, of course. Think about different use cases, different target group, different personas involved. So you might have that one big high-level map, but then you can actually focus on one aspect and actually show different use cases there. The more you get into details, the more useful it is to detail it out for different user segments, for different contexts, for different channels, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And we're really just, so Vicky's follow-up question here, is there an example for maps in a map? And really, when you look at it, it's still just your one map, but you can click on that link and then open up the next layer down map or multiple maps as you choose.
Correct. But I can also, if you give me a few seconds while you chat about the next question, I can pull up a map in SmartMap and actually show you how this looks like.
Okay, awesome. Let's see how good you are at working and listening at the same time. So I'll shoot another question your way from Antonio. Sure. Actually, I'm going to ask Nina's question because I think it's a bit more related to what we're talking about. How much time does it take to set up an initial journey map?
That depends on the quality. I mean, you get what you pay for, right? Mm-hmm. So it depends, of course, on how much data do you already have. If you have all the data, then it's fairly straightforward to put your data into a map and kind of use it to cluster your data. The most time consuming is actually the data collection, because a journey map is just as good as the data is. And there are two different kinds of journey maps, right? There are research-based journey maps and there are assumption-based journey maps. So assumption-based journey map means you just maybe alone or in a small team put up a journey map and say, we think this is what the customer experience. They look great and they might be a useful start, but they are only a start because then you need to challenge your own assumption because they are biased by your own personality, by your behavior, by the knowledge you have. And you need to challenge that and back it up with research. So over time, you move from assumption-based maps into research-based maps. If you create a research-based map, doing the research, different methods of qualitative research, using interviews, observations, maybe autoethnography, just become a customer yourself, maybe using mobile ethnography, that is probably what takes most time. But most time can be anything from like a few hours to a few days. Actually creating the map itself, that is not the big deal once you have the data. That can take anything like 5 minutes to a few hours, but that's it.
Okay, great.
But before you move on, while I was talking, yes.
Amazing.
I know, hey?
Mark has some mad skills.
So I would like to show you briefly how this looks like. So this is a high-level journey map. It's an example journey map. It's a travel journey of our customer, Anna, doing air travel. So it's a very high-level map. You got the pre-boarding experience, the flight experience, and so on. And what we did here, just to show how this looks like, is we added one lane type, the link to detail journey map, and that is a very simple text lane. So you can add at every step, you can add text. And as an example, we put in two different maps here. So this is just text. If I mark it and click on the link button, you see that this is the text we saw, detailed journey map, and then there's the URL of the map. So what happens now is, I can actually click on this map and open it. So I just open it now in a different tab so I can move between them. And what you see here is another journey map. So by that, you can actually build a whole hierarchy of maps. And as I said, you can actually have multiple ones here. So you can have different ones, like only Anna's experience or Anna's and Tom's experience. So by that, you actually build up a hierarchy of maps. And here again, of course, you can add the same lane type and go more in detail here as well. This is how you build it up in SmartMap.
Great. Okay. Antonio's question now. You talk about responsibility for journey maps, but who should update journey maps? Should everyone contribute, or is it better to limit to a few people? And then his related question is, how frequently then should you be updating them?
Yeah. So Again, it depends on what kind of map you have. If you remember that slide that I showed you, workshop maps, project maps, management maps, workshop maps, you typically do not update. You create them to collect information, probably in a co-creative setting where you invite your customers and you learn from that. You might digitize that, might be a starting point for a project map, but you typically don't update workshop maps. Project maps, you update throughout a project. And that depends on the kind of projects you have. So what is the velocity of your project? If you have a fast-paced project where you have changes, where you do research, you might add research data every day to the map. Where you do prototyping, you might add prototypes to it, or your hypothesis and the results of that, or you upload reports or videos of that to it. So in a project, it really depends on the velocity of your project. The faster the project goes, the more you update it. The slower it goes, so I've been a project that went on for years and there was like every few weeks, people were working on that. Of course, you don't update it like on a daily basis, but then ongoing, like every few weeks maybe. The last type, the management maps, that depends rather on the speed of your organization. So we work with startups who try to be as much on the pulse of customers as possible. They update their management maps on a weekly basis. And they do it by having a dedicated team for that. So they have set up a small journey map ops team, and it's like a handful of people, 5-6 people, who constantly update it every week. And there might not be major changes every week. It might be that they add a user pain point they discovered from their support work. There might be another team pain point they discovered from their colleagues. It might be a new project that they add to it. So it could be tiny changes every week. But the nice thing is they meet every week. They took a look at the map. And any changes that folks put up there, they highlight. So immediately you see all the changes in the map, what was added to it. And that also helps you to speed up the meetings you're doing, because it's a horrible meeting as everyone talks every week about exactly the same thing, what they're doing. So one rule I would always put out there is only talk about updates, about new things, what changed, and not just the same every week again and again. Most of our clients do it on a monthly basis. And there are few companies rather in the production end and manufacturing area where they have like large products. They're much smaller, much slower going, like they produce cars, for example, or B2B manufacturer. They do it on a quarterly basis. Yeah.
Okay, great. And then just the one of the other questions attached to that was, should everyone contribute or is it better to limit it to a few people?
Yeah. I don't think it makes sense if everyone contributes to it, because that would be a mess. That's why having a governing structure for that, where you have a clear responsibility, who is in charge for which part of the experience makes sense. And that means if there's a person in charge, they get all the information from their own circle, whoever they build into the circle. So then others can tell them like, hey, we have a change here. Hey, there's a new pain point. Hey, there's a project. But not everyone needs to be in the system and actually updating the journey map themselves.
Because it's so many contributors, limited owners.
Well said. Exactly. Perfect.
Okay, we have another question from Vicky. If you have several projects, you might not have an employee in the organization to lead the journey process. How would you support teams as an external company?
I'm not sure if I understand the question really. So it doesn't mean like you are an external agency and you try to help an organization in doing this? Do I get that right?
That's how I'm interpreting it.
Yeah.
And I relate to that question as someone who does
yes.
a lot of
that. All right, thanks for clarifying. Yeah. So how I understand it, if you are an agency and you actually have multiple clients and multiple projects with them, The thing is, they often are not connected, obviously. They are clients in different industries with different products. The system I just showed you is an in-house system. I forgot to frame that in the beginning. So it's an in-house system. If you as an organization run journey map operations internally for your own products, for your own customers. As an agency, it's hard to connect all these different ones into one map. It doesn't work because there are different markets and so on. I would then actually suggest in Smaply, you can have different projects, different folders, and actually run the different projects in each folder. But what can help you there is if you duplicate existing knowledge. So if you've done one project for one client and you do another one in a similar market, you don't need to start from scratch, depending on the NDAs you signed, obviously, whatever you are allowed to do. But if you're allowed to do it, you can copy it and focus on changes. So did it change over time? Did the market change? Do they focus on different customers and so on? If you as an agency try to support a company in setting that up, I recommend to work with them on a rather coaching basis. So don't set it up for them, but set it up with them, or rather help them to set it up themselves. And that often is much more successful than if you work in an old agency model where you do something and then present it. Because they need to have ownership. The whole journey map ops system only works if an organization owns it themselves and runs it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I think that's a great answer. And I just so relate to this question from Vicky because, you know, I do some of my own projects as well, and I'm always on the outside. And I think that the topic of journey map ops is quite new to many, but for a lot of companies, even the idea of doing journey maps is quite new. And they're not even at that point of, like, they may have their head around the fact that it's valuable to have some journey mapping done and they'd like to see that. And so now it's that sort of coaching and educating that there's a way that they can start moving towards managing their business if they can set up a couple people to own some journeys and be in charge of those. And I think it's sort of, you know, I've been using my time with my clients to just start introducing the topic and get them to start getting the wheels going so they can start thinking about it even.
Very nice. Very nice. There was another question I just saw. In your own journey map ops, what details are you focusing on? So in our own, so for our own company, More Than Metrics, a software company, we obviously have a high level journey map where we focus on the customer lifecycle. So anything from identifying a need, how they become aware of there is something like a journey map software, trying it out. Then we actually split our journey map at some point into, on the one hand, our subscription customers, so folks who sign up themselves on the website, who use our software independently, and then enterprise users, which is often connected to some training, to how do we onboard, I don't know, 100 new users in their company and so on, all the way through to offboarding. And then I recommend never to end with offboarding, but end with re-engagement or something like that, like how do people come back? So on this high level map, we actually have it then structured in different sub-levels. And the sub-levels are in the beginning the same, but then they split up in two different sub-levels, the enterprise, the subscription one. For each level, what we focus on are a different set of PIs and KPIs. So first, you can actually measure something for every step also in the detailed journey map. But not everything you measure is a KPI. So we said per journey map, there should always be a set of KPIs, something around three. So never just one, never 10, but something like two, three, maximum four. And these are the KPIs per map. The reason for that is if you focus only on one KPI, there might be the trap that you try to change the KPIs, but actually not change what you measure with the KPIs behind that. Beside the KPIs, we have obviously a lane for projects, as I just explained. And then we have a lane for team pain points and a lane for user pain points. We on purpose split it up because sometimes we do projects which solely focus internally, but they obviously solve then also a pain point an employee have, which then helps to free them up to have more time to actually focus on customer experience. So it's important to have both perspectives there, customer and employee or team pain points. We try then to connect all the projects with pain points and all the pain points with projects. And sometimes you identify that there are pain points, but there's no project tackling it. And obviously that is stuff that goes into our backlog. We said, this is what we need to fix in the future. In the more detailed maps, we also have a lane underneath with research data where we add research data to it that can come from support, from usability testing, from research we run, workshops we run, and so on. And then we actually meet once per month and go through that. But of course, in the detailed level, people go into it as needed.
Okay, we have one last question to round out our little webinar this morning. Who is usually in charge of the management of the journey maps? Is it the product owner, lead UX? I found it difficult to imagine a project manager doing it.
That is so difficult to answer in general because that topic is based under different departments in different organizations. So it can be part of design. It can be part of innovation. In some organizations, it's even part of a C-level where you have a CXO. I would look out for the person in your organization who's the highest in the hierarchy, who's actually focusing on customer experience. And that might be in innovation, it might be in design, but that might be also in marketing. That might be also in any other department. When you look in a role, I think everyone can learn it. The thing is, it is not that there is one single person responsible for that. And that's really important. That's why we like to call it the council, because it should be always a group of people taking a look at that, the group of people taking decisions there. So there should be someone high ranking in the organization so you can also have an impact, you can also influence other departments and so on. But then you should build a council consisting out of different people with different roles. And that might be UX lead, that might be a PO, that might be even a project manager, depend on the project manager, right? I would limit it. I would not exclude anyone by definition here.
Okay, awesome. I think too, just on that, the same as when you're starting to build service design capability in an organization, you need to look for the people with the interest and the heart and the desire to really grab onto that work. I think that's a good way to kind of figure out when you're starting who can own. I think that's everything for our questions. We've got a couple comments of people who had to leave but are saying thank you. So I think we've introduced something new and interesting for sure.
That's great. And we are almost on time. That's new. We're just 4 minutes late.
Really good.
No, as a German, that's always important to be on time, man.
As a Vancouverite, we're pretty chill. It's all right. We don't mind being late.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. We took a recording of this, actually. So we're going to share that with you later. And feel free to post it and share it as well. If you found it useful, please send us some feedback.
And if you have any other questions.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Have a great day, Nicole. Thanks, everyone, for joining.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.